To add my caveat to that story, I had no idea what was going on for about 6 months. And even for 6 months after we started dating, to be honest. Still not sure what's going on. Hi. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here. I'm Peter. That's it, really. It's an absolute privilege to be able to share something with you today. I've been with you two or three times now in the past, and usually at weird points in my life, and I've been truly blessed and encouraged by what you have here, and I hope that most of what I say is going to be encouraging, but to encourage you, this has something special about it. It feels, it feels like you're on the right track. We're going to kind of talk about that, but it feels like there's something special here, you know. And every church is a family, and every church is a community, and some are called community churches, but this one feels like a family. It feels like a community, and I've been truly blessed by that a couple of times now, and I wanted to encourage you sort of overtly, I guess. I want to talk to you about the gap. And really, I guess it's quite interesting. It's the gap between here and here, right? We often talk about this, and we kind of often talk about this, but we don't talk about this. But this is what there is, you know. We're here, and we can get here, but the gap is what there is, because as soon as we get here, basically, we have another gap. Do you know what I mean? And this gap between sort of who we are and who we're becoming, where we've been and where we're going, this gap is what there is. And how we navigate and behave in that gap determines so much of our enjoyment of that time, of our sanity, and of our character and development. You see, that gap is there for a reason. It's not, you know, I actually don't think that this to this takes a snap second. And sometimes God does amazing things, and he breaks in, and he can change something around in an instant. And I absolutely believe that. But I think most of the time, there's a gap. And the gap's there for a reason. It has a purpose. And there is different ways to navigate and behave in that gap. And I think that the ways we do that speaks to our maturity level and speaks to what we're going towards at the other end. So this gap, I mean, it is life, because we're all changing, right? So we all live sort of in this weird space between who we are, even, and who we were, and who we're becoming. But it's also this gap between when God says something and seeing it. There's a gap. And I think if we don't talk about it, then we can feel bad about it, because we think God said something and I've not seen it, so I must be doing something wrong. And we can kind of get weird and Christian about it, and we start worrying and I'm pretty sure no one else has a gap and no one else doubts, and we kind of go round and round in circles, or at least I do. But there is a gap. And we see in countless stories and in countless times throughout the Bible and throughout history that God says something. Right, God, you know, we've been singing about God's promises and his faithfulness, but he says something, and then there's a gap. Sometimes it's like a week, sometimes it's a month, sometimes it's years and decades, sometimes it's generations. But there's a gap. And there are a few ways we move through this gap, right? I don't want to put them to you. The first is an inclination to obsess about the past. So as we move through this space, as we move through this gap, God has said something, we're moving from who we once were to who we are destined to be. And on the way, we're in this gap, on the way, all we're thinking about is what was. We live, we exist, we survive in a version of reality, and even in a version of ourselves that doesn't exist anymore. Then we sometimes have a tendency to live for the future, always thinking about what's new, what's next. We don't think about yesterday or today because all we can think about is tomorrow. And then there's my personal favorite position, is that we move through this gap and we realize actually this is taking a bit longer than we thought and it's kind of hard, and we just sit down. And I tend to do all three of these things all at once in some kind of, like, you know, I don't want to brag, but, you know, I'm really good at sort of obsessing about the future whilst going round and round in circles about the past, all the while kind of being a bit grumpy and just sat down. And like a toddler, we just sit down and have a sulk. And for those of you who have children, you know that if you're trying to get home, the quickest way is not to sit down. You see, if we're moving from something like this to something like this, then there's movement, right? You have to move through this gap. And so often in life, God says something, or we catch a glimpse of something, or we have a vision for something. And we set out sort of full of faith and excitement and vigor. And then we get a few steps in and we kind of think, oh, hang on. This is taking longer than I thought. Like, God said this, and you know, to be honest, I thought we'd be done by tea. And we could go and watch the telly this afternoon. And it starts to take longer, and it starts to be difficult, and instead of pushing through, we just stop and we just sit down. And sometimes that is out of like a laziness or a lack of drive or lack of desire to see what God has said fulfilled. But I think for most of us, it's not. It's because things really have got tough. You know, things... I don't think most of us sort of take two steps in and then sit down. I think most of us sort of... We really get into this gap. And then we get tired. Or something really goes wrong. And we have this pain and this grief, and we're trying to drag that along with us, and we stop. And so I don't think that this stopping is like a... it's not because we're being lazy or we're being sort of unpersistent, but it's because we've really come up against it. You know, we're tired, we're weary. Have you ever felt like that? Like, you know, you're just tired. You're tired of walking. You're tired of trying to navigate this gap. James 1, 2 and 4 says this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I think in like the Message translation or something, they add like another line that says, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. And this steadfastness, this there's some other ways that it gets translated, sort of, I think my favorite is like a patient enduring. This steadfastness has a purpose. This gap, this journey, this sort of void that feels like it, you know, sometimes it feels like the gap is worse than being here. Right? That's why we have a tendency to live in the past, because actually it's kind of certain, it's all cut and dry. I'm confused, or I don't like where I am. We understand that. But it's this gap. It can feel worse. But let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You see, as we move through this gap, I don't think it's enough to just endure it. I think it matters how we navigate this gap. And I think that is the biggest difference that we can show the world. Is actually, we know how to navigate this gap. With a patient endurance, with a joyful endurance. Because this gap has a purpose. And the next gap will have a purpose, and the one after that, and the one after that. But it has a purpose because it has this point in which we're lacking in nothing. And when we try and hurry this gap along, or when we try and get out of it prematurely and skip the line or move too fast or bypass this gap in some way, we miss the point that this gap is designed to grow us. It's designed to prepare us. It's designed to mold us so that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing when the time comes. You see, when God says something and there's this delay, which in my, I don't know about you, in my experience, more often than not, there's a delay. So we better get used to it, right? And we better have some understanding of it and some way to navigate it in a way that isn't going to drive us mad. This gap is where Jesus does his thing. There are things that we are to see and to do that there's no way we're ready for now. And we don't get to skip this. If we really do want all that God has for us, if we really do want the very best of what he's saying, and this is what we're called to. And I think there's something about sort of keeping that vision fresh in your mind, to keeping the kind of the end of the road in sight sort of thing, you know? Otherwise we can get lost and really despondent and it becomes hard to move on, and when we sit down or we go back to here, we know the story. Suddenly slavery seems like a much nicer, neater option than walking around. And we have to find a way to keep that alive, but we have to find a way to live here. To live in this gap, because, I mean, you know, I've not been alive very long, but my experience, life is just gaps. And if I can't live in a gap, if I can't experience God in a gap, if I can't enjoy this life in a gap, then I can't enjoy it at all, because we spend very little time not in a gap. Maybe like a day, I don't know. Do you get a day and you think, oh yeah, I've got it sorted, wait, oh no, hang on, no, I haven't. And this learning to navigate this gap, and I've kind of, I've been on a journey with how I describe this gap, and I've called it various different things, all of which have been too sort of cuddly. Do you know what I mean? Like some people have called it like a hallway or a corridor of faith or these things, and it is, and that's an interesting metaphor in a way, but in my experience, it's much more kind of raw than that. It's a gap. That's what it feels like. It's a gap. It feels like a gap, doesn't it? It doesn't feel like a nice hallway. It feels like a gap. And I think what God asks of us, and we've been singing of his faithfulness, and it's easy to think that God comes here and he says something. He says, look, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and do this, or I want you to do this, or he says something in our heart. And then he kind of walks off, and he waits for us at the other end, you know, and he sort of, go. But that's not my experience of God. I think he comes in and he says something in our hearts, he shows us something, and he says, okay, come on then, let's go. Okay, let's go. And even when we sit down, he doesn't walk off. And man, I would walk off on me so fast. You know, like, you know, I've got my, you know, my nice shirt on today, and you know, kind of get to talk to you. But man, if you knew some of the times I spent moaning, and you know, well, you can ask my wife after. But you know, I don't know. You look back and you think, oh, come on. And it's easy to look back from here, right? You see, we have some experience with these. And I think God expands our capacity to move in gaps, right? And so I think that as we go through, I don't think that God asks us suddenly to do this huge, great big gaps straight off the bat. I think, right, God expands our capacity for living and moving in gap. And I think he's gracious with that. But there are times when you move through something and you look back and you see it all fit together. And you think, oh, come on, I wish I wasn't, you know. And you kind of catch a glimpse of yourself back 6 months ago, and you were just sat down moaning like a child. And you kind of feel a bit embarrassed, like, oh, okay, well, I know God works all things because he's done it so many times, but yet I still get funny about it. I still get mopey about it. And I think that what God requires of us is an ability to move through this gap, to let it do its work on us, to let it round the corners, to let it sharpen the things that needs to be sharpened, to let it build our character, to let it build our history with God. To let steadfastness have its full effect, so that we may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. You see, I think it's a really interesting caveat that Don't try to get out of anything prematurely, because it, I don't know, we don't like waiting for things, do we? You know, I mean, I've grown up in, if I have to wait 2 days for a parcel, I'm livid. Like, it's almost some kind of injustice that it's going to take 3 to 5 working days. You know, that's not on my radar. I order something, and I don't mind where it comes from in the world, but it has to be here tomorrow. I don't watch TV. You know, I have streaming services. I don't watch adverts. Everything's as and when I want it. You know, I have all the information you could possibly ever need in my pocket. And you've got pretty good signal around here. And so we live in this world, this kind of society, this culture that, I'm not saying it's bad, and I don't think it's really different. Like, maybe it is, but, you know, Amazon and these things, it sped everything up, but I think it's human nature to want things now. Like, I don't think that's necessarily a knock on 2019. I think it's human nature to want things now. And there is no way that God wants to leave us here. Not a chance. But I think it's foolish to expect that we arrive here tomorrow. Because it's what God does in the process. It's what God does in the gap that gives us this freedom. And sometimes God breaks in and he does something, but in my experience, freedom is the hardest thing. Freedom has to be fought for. It has to be wrestled over. It has to be protected with everything you have. And if we expect to arrive tomorrow, then it's going to make the gap really miserable. And I think that when Jesus talks about life and life to the full, he doesn't, we're not talking about, you know, start, finish. It's not talking about removing the gap. It's, okay, how do we live in the gap? How do we experience the gap? How do we, I don't want to say submit, but how do we sort of embrace the gap for all it has? Because that's when life happens, you know. If God says something and it's going to take the next 10 years to work it out fully, then, you know, you're going to have a kid in that time. And if you don't know how to navigate this gap, life is going to pass you by. And I don't know much about, you know, kind of what you guys are going on. I know that you obviously don't have Dan anymore, and I'm sure some of you would be happy about that. And some of you were devastated. But you know, whatever happens, whatever God's got for you, I don't know, I think what God has for you is each other, right? And maybe there's someone else, or there's sort of another person to come in and lead, or there's changes, and whatever. I think what God has for you is each other. And I know a bit about the process of trying to find someone. It could take years. And God has things for you now. And it's so easy to be so obsessed with what's next that we forget to live now. This is such a precious time, you know. Even just being together on a Sunday when the sun's shining. And there's times in my life where I've had such stillness, but it's been completely overshadowed by something that's going on. You know, a big decision I had to make, or a huge transition I'm going through. It's the, you know, I obviously I enjoy the Easter Sunday, but for me, it's Easter Saturday that holds the weight. It's this kind of waiting, the not knowing, the can you navigate through that time? This gap between Friday and Sunday, it's the unknowing, the uncertainty. Can we live in uncertainty? Because that's pretty much all there is. And so often in my life, I've had these amazing times where there's been a stillness, almost like an Easter status. It's sort of everything's still, but it's been overshadowed by the fact that Jesus is dead. Do you know what I mean? Get my point here. That it's been overshadowed by something huge that I'm trying to work through. Should I do this or should I do that? What's God saying? And actually, I look back and I think, no, that was such a precious time. And if I can't live, if I can't move through life, if I can't enjoy those times that come, unless my ducks are in a row, and we all like to have our ducks in a row, don't we? Then we're going to miss out on so much of life. And I think we're going to miss out on so much of what God has for us. Because when God comes in and he says something, he promises something, yes, the promise holds fast, right? And the promise is what God has for us. But in this gap, there is so much that God has for us. It's this walking with Jesus that actually looks, in hindsight, to be the most precious of times. I think it was Sigmund Freud. I don't know what you guys think about him, but I think he said that something like this, you know, in retrospect, it will turn out that the times of struggle were the most beautiful. Yeah. And there is a time for everything, right? We're told that. There's a time for rejoicing. There's a time for mourning. And there is a time for everything. And understanding that is really the only way to move through this gap. Because otherwise we stress and we think what was and what could be and what is this and what is that, what is that, what is that. And there are things to be worked out. There are things to be decided and to discern and to understand. And we have to do that, you know, that is part of it. But there are also... Hello there. Yeah. Perhaps that's another analogy we can move on to. I didn't think we should run through the gap. Because in this gap, there are times, there are moments, there are bits of Jesus that you can only experience in this gap. There are things that God has for you that you can only experience in this gap. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I think I want to finish by sort of seasoning this with a slight tangent and then sort of tell a story. I think one of the hardest promises for me to believe is that God wastes nothing. Because already it feels like there's been so much waste in my life. It feels like, you know, it's all very well talking about the gap, but I don't know, half the time I feel like I'm just somewhere off in a random place, let alone the right gap or this process or this corridor, you know. I'm not even in the corridor. I'm sort of out on a fire escape somewhere trying to get back in. And this promise that God wastes nothing is one of the ones I hold tightest to. And I want to encourage you to tell each other stories. I don't think we tell stories enough. Because, you see, with a story, you get the full picture. You get the, well, 3 years ago I did this, and then did this, and then this happened, and then at this point I was really losing it, and then God said this, and then we did this, and then we, you know, you get the journey. And you understand what the waste was for. And some of it I don't think we'll know this side of heaven. But all of us have stories where we think we were so far out on a limb that it was just a whole wasted time. And then at some point in life, God turns that into the most beautiful part of the story. And so as we're going through this, if you feel like, I don't know, you set off and then you've kind of taken a step over here and a step over here. God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste anything. It's all part of the story. It's all part of the story. At the beginning of Mark, Jesus calls his disciples. And, you know, he comes across this chap called Peter. It's a good name. And he says to them, follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. You see, at the start of this story, Jesus comes up to these guys, and he calls them. And Peter in particular has a wonderful journey with Jesus, right? He spends the next 3 years, and he kind of gets a new name, and he does this, and he does that. And, you know, he gets called this, and Jesus says, oh, you know, well done here, and they have the most amazing time. And then Jesus dies. And that's not quite how Peter thought it was going to go. And what does he do? You see, in John 21, it comes back to Peter, right? And he thinks Jesus is dead. He says, Simon Peter says to them, I'm going fishing. And so Peter did what men through the centuries have done when the times have got hard. He went fishing. And you see, a fisherman is who Peter was. And from the stories we kind of read, he wasn't that good at it. And it's who he was. And Jesus comes and he calls him to a new destiny. And he changes his name and he says this and he says this. And he says, you know, we're going to do this with you and you're going to do this and you're going to do this. And he sets this before Peter. And then Jesus dies. And what does Peter do? He comes back to who he was. And it's so easy that when times get rough, we revert back to a previous version of ourselves. We revert back to what we know, to what we're secure in, to where we have found value and identity before. And you know, the story kind of goes on, and I think Jesus asks them, have you caught any fish? And Peter says, no, you know, having been out all night, which proves that there's nothing back here for him. So I want to end by encouraging you that as we move through this gap, as we navigate it, that it has a purpose. That it all has a purpose. It builds our character. It builds our patience. It builds our history with God. And to stick with it. To stick with it. To learn to enjoy it. To patiently endure it. To not revert back to a past version of ourselves that we find security in, that we know is familiar, but to press on. To press on through this gap. If this gap is all we have, we better get used to it. We better learn how to live in it, to enjoy it, to thrive in it. The gift is free, but a maturity costs. For those of us who can navigate along this gap well, moving forward without grumbling, trusting God with our waste, not only will the journey be more enjoyable, but we are going to do more than we could ever imagine and have a story to go with it. So count it all joy, friends, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And do not try to get out of anything prematurely, but let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Can I just pray? Jesus, we really love you, and we trust you. Father, I pray that you would come and you would give us a sense of clarity about where we are in this gap and how we've been navigating it. Father, I pray you would bring peace. Peace amidst uncertainty. I pray you would give us boldness to move forward. To stick with it. For those of us who are stuck in the past or fearful of moving forward, I pray you would give us an enjoyment of the present and a hope for the future. I pray for those of us who get caught up in things that are coming, I pray that you would help us have a thankfulness for the journey so far and an ability to be and live in the present. Father, I pray you would keep moving us forward, step by step, knowing that you're there at every single point along the way. Father, I pray that we would arrive perfect and complete, having let the gap do its work on us so that we can be ready to move forward again. Amen. Amen. Thank you.